Welcome to the Straight Talk Podcast. I'm your moderator and your host, America Sheriff, former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. Thanks for tuning in. Folks, there's a crisis in this country right now, and it's been going on for about the last three decades, and it can't grab headlines. I guess it's not sexy enough. There's no hair on fire rhetoric that can be used, no breaking news stories. Politicians don't run on it either at the state or the federal level. But I think it's one of the most devastating things that we can do to the future of this country and how we're not meeting the needs of generations of kids. And that crisis in the United States that I'm referring to is a crisis in education, specifically public K-12, but all of K-12, really. And it's probably worse in the urban schools, the urban centers. But any of you who live in suburban areas to think that you're immune from this, you're not. You're kidding yourself. Because if you really looked at scores, test scores, you'll find out that even in those suburban schools, they're underperforming. They're not reaching that standard of excellence, which is what I look for in anything. Not perfection, excellence. And I'm going to unpack this for you so that you can see and you can hear what's really going on in our K-12 public schools in the United States of America. No, it doesn't have anything to do with critical race theory and transgenderism. I'm talking about academic achievement, whether our kids are learning. I've been talking about this easily for the last 20 years. I've written op-eds on it. I've talked about it incessantly when I guest host talk radio shows, some national ones. But it can't seem to catch people's imagination. Like I said, I guess it's not sexy enough. You know, I dealt with, and as a sheriff of Milwaukee County, a lot of the criminality I can pinpoint to the failure of our K-12 public education system. Because kids who do well in school are less likely to be involved in crime. And I used to get asked all the time, you know, what do we do to reduce crime? And I'd always say, fix the schools. I'm talking about the K-12 education, public, urban. Fix the schools. And, you know, I get asked, you know, how do we reduce poverty in America? Fix the schools. Education is the traditional vehicle to upward mobility in the United States of America. It always has been, and it always will be. There's an opportunity. If you educate yourself, if you go as far as you can in school, you have opportunities to jump from one socioeconomic category to another. In other words, you can start out in the lower class, poverty-stricken, poverty-ridden, and jump to the middle class with a decent education. You can go from the middle class to the upper middle class through education. So I come across this article, and this is what made me want to talk about this again. First time on my podcast, but you'll hear from me about it again. And again, and again, and again. Until people start to get it within your local communities. Forget about the national level. First of all, I think we should do away with the United States Department of Education. Schools are local issues. Each state has a vested interest in educating their kids, educating their residents, their population. I also think they ought to get rid of schools of education. But that's a topic for another day. So I come across this article from the Washington Times. And I want to walk through this, and we're going to unpack this. So you can begin to ask the question and the questions that I often ask about our K-12 public education system in the United States of America. It used to be the best in the world. In the world. Not anymore. We're about the middle of the pack worldwide in terms of education excellence. It's based on test scores. We test kids to find out, are they proficient? Are they learning? We test in math, English language arts, science, technology, you know, your STEM courses, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We test at the fourth and the eighth grade level. because those are key moments in the timeline in terms of whether these students, these kids, we're talking K-12, they're kids, whether they're becoming proficient, whether they are learning. To put it simply, are they learning anything? So I come across this article, like I said, in Washington Times, and it says, red state governors raising teacher pay while waging battle against woke agendas in public schools. And again, leave the wokeness out of this. We'll talk about that in a different podcast. Hopefully you'll come back. So I'm going to read some excerpts from this article. It says, America's teachers are receiving significant pay raises from red state governors who are simultaneously bolstering parental rights in education, in some cases letting parents use their tax dollars for private schools. It's an unusual policy mix that gives Republican governors from Utah to Georgia a foothold on education issues that are popular with teachers. Quote, this is the most substantial overhaul of our state's education system in Arkansas history, and frankly, it couldn't come soon enough, said Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders in announcing this package in Little Rock in February. Mrs. Sanders announced her education proposal a little more than a week after Utah Republican Governor Spencer Cox signed a bill providing public school teachers with a $6,000 pay increase. The bill, Mr. Cox said, strikes a good balance by adequately funding public education while giving parents additional options to meet the needs of their families. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis, notice it's red states. We know the Democrats have destroyed their schools in these blue states, in these urban centers, Chicago, Milwaukee, Cleveland, Detroit, among the worst in the nation. Their K-12 public school system, L.A., you name it, St. Louis. So it says here, getting back to the story, in Florida, Republican Governor Ron DeSantis has secured more than $2 billion in funding for teacher pay since 2020. $2 billion in funding for teacher pay. Mr. DeSantis' most recent education proposal seeks $200 million to raise teacher salaries, marking the third consecutive year he has addressed teacher compensation in his budget proposal. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp has provided teachers with a 5,000 pay increase during his first term in office. Re-elected in November by a margin of more than 7 points, Mr. Kemp is proposing an additional $2,000 pay hike in 2023 for public school teachers and additional funding to help increase the number of public school teachers. Back to Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. Arkansas's newly minted Republican governor is the latest red state teacher to offer such a package, following in the footsteps of Florida, Georgia, Mississippi, Utah, Iowa, and other states. This month, she announced a proposal to boost teacher annual minimum salaries from $36,000 to $50,000, a nearly 40% increase. The plan would also provide $2,000 pay raises to veteran teachers who are already earning $50,000 or more. So I read this article and I'm going, this is kind of odd. And it's odd because nowhere in this story, ladies and gentlemen, does the word achievement or the word merit appeal. Just handing out pay raises. And I say, for what? The goal should be excellence and learning. Now, we all know teachers. Most of us, neighbor, family member. We love teachers, right? And you know, you rarely find people that have a bad word to say about teachers. And I'm not here to have bad words to say about it, but what I'm here to ask is, what are you accomplishing? Are the students learning? Not, is the teacher working hard? Teachers always whine. Yes, whine. You know, we don't have enough money that reaches the classroom. You know why? Because most of the money spent on education is for salaries and benefits. It doesn't reach the classroom. And so what that means is, since the largest portion of the budget goes towards salaries and benefits, you better get something in return for that. So let's look at the cost of education in the United States of America. This is from Business Insider. The U.S. spends more on education than any other country, but students lag behind academically. Here's how much other countries spend and how well their students perform. The United States, ladies and gentlemen, spends over $700 billion a year on public education, yet it lags behind most other industrialized countries and key measurements of academic success. See, that's what I'm in search of, academic success. The article goes on to say that in 2017, the U.S. spent $12,800 per student on public education, which is the second highest amount spent per student of any country in the world. It goes on to say, but when it comes to total spending, the comparison isn't remotely close. According to data from the National Center for Education Statistics, the U.S. spent over $700 billion on public education in 2017 alone. To put that in perspective, you could add up the total GDP of Finland and Vietnam, and you still wouldn't hit the amount the U.S. spends on education. But despite all that spending, this article says, the U.S. has struggled. Pew Research from 2017 found the U.S. ranked 38th in math and 24th in science when compared against 71 other countries. Only two decades prior, remember I said the last 30 years, only two decades prior, the U.S.'s education system ranked 6th internationally. Now we're 38th in math and 24th in science. And yet we're spending more money on education than we ever have. And that's what I mean when I say, what are we getting for this? So here's what I'm trying to do is give you some research. I don't come on this podcast and just spew my opinion. Everybody's got an opinion. I form my positions after I do some research. What are other people saying about this? Other people who are smarter than me. I've known about this crisis in education for a very long time. And so what I'm doing now is I'm laying the groundwork to support my thesis, my argument. We're not getting a return on investment for all the money that we're paying for education in this country. Why do we continue to add more to it? Why do we keep giving teachers raises? Why do we keep spending more on education budgets? And the achievement doesn't keep up with it. The achievement, ladies and gentlemen, is not there. So here's another story from the American Legislative Exchange Council. The title, Education Spending is Increasing, but Where is the Money Going? See, we got to ask that. Where the hell is this nearly $1 trillion in education spending going? Like I said, most of it, I understand that. Goes to salaries and benefits of teachers, but then the teachers better be coming up with something. These kids better be learning. So this article says, waste and inefficiency in public education spending has resulted in no link between increased spending and student achievement. I have known that for a very long time. The reason I have known it, I have read study after study after study that shows there is no correlation between how much you spend on education and academic achievement. No correlation. So whenever you hear somebody say, well, we need to spend more on education, you just say, why? You know what you'll get? Well, it's the right thing to do. Well, it's for our kids. Well, it's for the future. And then ask them, what are the test scores in the school district? How much have we increased spending over the last 25 years? And what has happened to the test scores? Are our kids learning? Those are the questions you ask at school budget time and in the state capitol. When they put these budgets, these education budgets that they share with the state school districts together, ask a question. The researchers found some cities spent more per capita yet generated lower test scores. Then why do we continue to spend this money in this fashion? So here's from the Heritage Foundation. American spending on public K-12 education continues at an all-time high and is still rising. Again, from the Heritage Foundation, federal spending on elementary and secondary education has also increased dramatically. Here's the third bullet point from the Heritage Foundation. These are based on studies, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't somebody's opinion. Continuous spending increases have not corresponded with equal improvement in American educational performance. Let me take you back to that article I was reading about how the red state governors are raising teacher pay and spending more on education. And that's why I ask, why? Are the governors asking these questions? Have the governors looked at these test scores and this research and go, well, I'd like to spend more on education, but I want to get a little bit more out of it for the tax dollar spent. No, we just keep spending money. And then at election time, all the politicians, both parties, Democrats and Republicans, they run around their district saying, hey, I increased education spending. I voted to increase education spending. When I hear that, I say, why'd you do that? Well, because it's for our kids' future. Really? Are we getting a return on investment? Because the study that I have here shows blah, 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 blah. And then you get this blank stare, this deer in the headlights stare, because no one's ever confronted them like that before. We just spend money because it's the, quote, right thing to do. It's for our children's future. Our children aren't learning. You want evidence of that? You know, what we're getting for all this spending on education, the United States of America. One more. This is from the United States Census Bureau. It says public school spending per pupil increases by largest amount in 11 years. The article goes on to say the nation spent $752.3 billion on its 48 million children in public schools in fiscal year 2019, a 4.7% increase from the previous year, the most per pupil spending in more than a decade. Now, here's something that I mentioned earlier. Instructional salaries, that's the teacher pay, the largest expenditure within current spending totaled $239.9 billion in fiscal year 2019, or 31% of the total expenditures for public elementary secondary education. So what are we getting? Here's what we're getting. This is from Pew Research. U.S. student academic achievement still lags that of their peers in many other countries. How do U.S. students compare with their peers around the world? Recently released data from the International Math and Science Assessments indicates United States students continue to rank around the middle of the pack and behind many other advanced industrialized nations. Ladies and gentlemen, we're average and below average. That's all we're getting. So it goes on to say, because, you know, this stuff's important in terms of why we're spending all this money in education and why there's not a demand for reform. We need reform of our education model here in the United States of America. Reform. We're working with an archaic model. These large urban school districts are archaic. Not only that, the school year, this, you know, summer vacation, 3 months off, is hurting the continuance of learning. By the time the kids come back in September, there's a lag time to catch up on what was happening before school let out in May or June. Do you know why we have that model? It was when the United States was an agricultural society and the kids were needed at home to help the parents' farms. We were an agricultural-based society. That's the growing season. The kids helped in the fields. That's why we let them off for 3 months in the summer. Why are we still on that model? We are no longer an agricultural-based society. These kids aren't working on farms. They're not helping mom and dad till and plant and harvest. Nobody ever brings this up. Nobody ever mentions it. Why do we give these kids 3 months off? They need some time off. You need a break in some of this stuff. I like the school districts that have gone to trimester. All right, you want to go for 3-4 months and take 2 weeks off? That's fine. School buildings are air conditioned now. They weren't 100 years ago. Sitting in a classroom had to be hell. And you know who that is really hurting? Black and Hispanic kids. The gap, the education gap between Black and Hispanic kids' test scores and whites is widening. They're falling further behind. And yet there doesn't seem to be any sense of urgency. So like I said, you know, we're in the tech age now. And that 3-month gap for summer is hurting these kids. They start the school year and it takes, you know, a month or so to catch up. Yet we just keep plugging along. You know why? The teachers like it. They like the summers off. If you raise the idea of all year school, and that doesn't mean 365 days. I said they need, you know, some time here. You want to let them off 2 weeks in the winter for Christmas? You want to let them off 2 or even 3, even a month in the summer? That wouldn't hurt. But if you raise that idea to a teacher, those teachers would go wild. They'd be running around like their hair's on fire. What do you mean? I have to work during the summer. Well, you got into the profession. You wanted to be a teacher. This isn't about you. This is what they need to be told, ladies and gentlemen. This isn't about you. I thought it was about the kids. Remind them. Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, Mike Lindell and MyPillow are launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with the brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, a buy one, get one free offer with promo code Clark. MyPillow 2.0, with its temperature regulating technology, is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, it does. MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, to get your MyPillow 2.0 now. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America's Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116. Stay tuned. Great things are coming on next week's podcast.